Please stand for the call to worship that you find printed in your worship bulletin. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and to those in the tombs restoring life. Alleluia. The risen Christ is with us.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we, who celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection, may, by the renewing of your Holy Spirit, arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And please be seated.
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship on Easter Sunday, the day that we Christians celebrate the victory of God's love and goodness over the power of death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. My name is Evan Roars Dodge. I'm the pastor here at the Belvedere United Methodist Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to extend to you a special welcome and hope that you feel God's love in our midst as we worship together on this most beautiful day. I want to just bring your attention to one thing, especially if you're visiting with us today. Inside your bulletin, you're going to find a little tan card in there. On the front, it has some information about our church, our worship services, our children's ministry, our youth group ministry. There's contact information there. And also, if you flip the card over, on the back, you'll see just some information about a 5-week sermon series that will be beginning next Sunday and running through May. FAQs, faithfully asked questions, tackling tough topics. We'll be looking at things like suffering and evil, why did Jesus have to die, heaven, hell, and what happens when we die, and some other things that so many of us grapple with and struggle with and wonder, what is our church and what does the Bible teach about those things? So I want to invite you back to worship with us. If you're visiting with us today and you don't have a church home, I want to invite you back next week as we start an exciting sermon series. And know that we're so glad to have you with us in worship this morning. Linda Benton is going to come forward and share a brief announcement.
The church would truly love to thank you for everything you've been doing, and we would like to give you one of our blankets that has a church name on it so that you will always remember this church. So that you can always remember that our church is a loving church.
Thank you. I just can't get away from you guys. And I love that. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
The New Testament lesson is Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43, and it's on page 1710 in your pew Bible. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him from a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Thank you.
Would you please stand to honor the reading of the gospel? The gospel lesson is taken from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked into the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still do not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go to him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of our Lord. Would all the children come forward for our children's time? Kids, who remembers who was here in church last week? Who remembers what last Sunday was? Riley. We talked about it last Sunday. But do you remember what special happened last Sunday? Jesus did what? You just shout it out. It's okay. Remember, I told you all to listen. Jesus did die for our sins, yes. Boy, this, little group of budding theologians here. This is wonderful. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, remember? We came into church waving palms, and we heard the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a what? A donkey. Okay, you were listening. You get extra candy. Mom, she gets extra candy. So Palm Sunday starts something in the church that we call Holy Week. And we hear about Jesus coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And we hear about the Last Supper, where Jesus got all his friends, his disciples together, and he gave them some teachings, and they celebrated the Passover together, which instituted what we now call communion. And then something happened on Friday. Do you know what happened on Friday? Good Friday. What happened on Good Friday? Jesus died on the cross, right? And today is Easter, and what do we celebrate on Easter? He came, but boy, my sermon's done. We're good. So Linda is going to share a little bit about today and why Easter is so important.
Well, I think you said it. Can you say it one more time? I can laugh. What did Jesus do? He came back alive very strongly. Yeah, and we look at our cross, and if you notice, last Friday, because it was sad that Jesus died, but we don't want black anymore.
Please, can we pray together? Okay, close your eyes. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for Jesus, for Easter, for new life, and for your love for us. Help us to remember that Easter is about Jesus and about his love for each one of us. Amen. You can go back to your seats, to your family, okay? Would you stand for our hymn of preparation, number 314? You may be seated. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Loving and gracious God, on this day that we remember and celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, help us to be people who are truly changed. God, send your Holy Spirit to move in and through us. May all that we say and all that we do give you honor and glory. For you indeed are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how many of you will have a big family gathering this afternoon and have Easter dinner? How many of you left with food already in the oven? Right, a few of you. Yeah, Cindy's like, I got it. So here we are this morning, Easter. and it's a day that we get together with family. Somebody sent me a joke this week about a family get-together at Easter dinner. And there was a family who had traveled out of town to celebrate Easter with their grandma out west in Arizona. And they had gone to church with the family that morning, and they came home for Easter dinner, and they sat down. And little Ethan just started eating without saying grace. His mom stopped him, and she said, "Ethan, you have to wait until we say grace before you begin eating." And Ethan said, "No, I don't." And she said, "Well, yes, we always do that at our house. We have to say grace first." And little Ethan said, "Well, that's at our house, but we're at Grandma's house, and Grandma knows how to cook." So my wish for you today on Easter is that none of you go home and get food poisoning. No. One of my favorite seasons of the year, with all its beauty, all of its glory, is Christmas time. We know about Christmas, don't we? Besides the trio of characters, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the angels and the shepherds. If you take Matthew and Luke together, we have this incredible narrative of shepherds seeing a heavenly host in the sky announcing Jesus' birth. We have stories of angels visiting Mary and visiting Joseph and telling them about what is to happen, that the Messiah is going to come into the world. We have wise men, magi, who travel from the east to pay homage to him. We have Herod, who's launches a plot to squash this Messiah before he can get any older. And it's a time of year that we know the symbols, don't we? If we saw magi somewhere, we know it. We can associate the story with that. We know about Christmas. With Easter, I think it's entirely different. If you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, each one records a resurrection narrative. Nobody records the moment that Jesus rose from the dead. We have the moment of his birth, right? But what we have in the resurrection is we have people going to an empty tomb and there's nobody there. Nobody is an eyewitness to the exact moment that Jesus got up, took the linen cloths off, laid them there, and the tomb was rolled, stone was rolled away, and he left. And depending on which gospel you read, the women get there first, the disciples, Peter, and the one whom Jesus loved was probably John, get there first. Some see two angels, some see one angel. And in most of the accounts, John is really an exception. With most of the accounts, they either leave confused or terrified, not knowing what's happened. If you were one of Jesus' followers, you know that the city, there's still unrest in the city. Jesus had just been crucified. His body is going to be gone. And if you were one of Jesus' closest followers and the authorities get word that his body's been taken, who are they probably going to come interview first? The closest friends. So we know why they were locked away in terror after Easter. And yet, for all its confusion, those first people to go to the tomb and see it empty, the different accounts that we have, Easter compared to Christmas is perhaps downplayed. But I think that that's so important. I think there's something there. Because how can you domesticate? How can you turn into a pageant or exchange gifts in celebration of the resurrection of God himself? Breaking the powers of sin and death. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" A shift of such cosmic proportions that have fundamentally changed the entire world. How can you really get at that? We sing songs about it. We celebrate it. We read the stories. But how many of us can fathom what happens on Easter? In the Easter moment, which we hear recorded in John, where Peter and Mary goes to the tomb first. She's the first one there. Mary is the first one, if you see. Mary is the one entrusted with spreading this news. And which is really incredible, given in the ancient world what a woman's testimony would have been valued at. So often a woman's testimony in court wasn't even admissible. Even if she had several men sign on to her statement, it could still easily be called into question. And yet Mary is the first one given this news and told to go spread it. Go tell my brothers, Jesus says to her. And the story ends with her going and telling. But Mary goes to the tomb while it was still dark. And those of you who came to Easter sunrise service, I talked about that phrase, while it was still dark. Because John talks about light and darkness all through his gospel. And he's not talking about physical light and physical darkness so much as spiritual light and spiritual darkness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, the light came into the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Talking about Jesus himself coming into our world. While it was still dark, while Mary is still overcome by grief and agony and tragedy and loss, she goes to the tomb to care for the body, to show one last act of love and respect for the very man who had set her free from all her oppression, the one who had given her hope and new life. She goes to the tomb and she sees that he's not there. And so she goes and she tells some people, perhaps wouldn't you do the same after you brought your jaw back up from the ground and got your senses? She goes back and she tells some of the disciples who then come. And I love this scene. If any of you are familiar with the Gospels and with Peter, I love Peter because Peter is so impetuous at times. And I love this scripture here. You can almost see him, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who was probably John and Peter. The disciple whom Jesus loved gets there, and you can kind of have this idea. So the tomb that Jesus was in was really hewn into a rock and then down into the ground a little bit. You could actually go in and stand in them, and there'd be like a table. A rock table upon which you would place the body. So the tomb was actually a pretty large area. So that you can imagine the disciple whom Jesus loves coming in close and perhaps crouching down and looking in, seeing the linen stuff there, perhaps looking in to see maybe there were grave robbers and maybe they're still in there, maybe there's something. Peter just, boom, goes right in. Doesn't even stop to kind of take a look. He runs right into the tomb. He gets in there and he sees it. The other disciples see it. And it's interesting. It says they believe, but they still don't understand. It says they believed, and I think perhaps they were believing Mary's testimony to them about what she had seen. Because it said they still did not believe the scripture. They still didn't understand the scripture about how Jesus had to die and rise again. Well, then the narrator shifts back to Mary. Faithful Mary. Just wanting some answers about where Jesus' body is. She's crying outside the tomb. And Jesus, perhaps due to his resurrected self, something has altered, something has changed about him, that she turns to him and doesn't instantly recognize him. She says, where have you put the body? Assuming him to be the gardener. Where have you put the body? Just let me know so I can go to him. And Jesus, in this most beautiful loving act, turns to her and just speaks her name. Mary. And immediately she knows who he is and calls him teacher, a title of respect and honor. Friends, Jesus Christ, if everything hinges on this moment, on this day, on what we celebrate and remember and honor today, the Apostle Paul says that if Jesus isn't risen from the grave, that's the linchpin on which everything hangs. And if he's not risen, then it's all for naught. We might as well pack it up and go home. Because if Jesus isn't risen, that means there's no hope for us. There's no hope for our eternal lives with God. There's no hope for the resurrection power, which the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us now. That same power is useless. It's for nothing. If Christ isn't raised from the dead, we believe that he is. And we celebrate that today. Last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, while we were here celebrating Palm Sunday at the beginning of Holy Week, tragedy was happening in the other part of the world. In Egypt, Coptic Christians, one of the most ancient expressions of the Christian church, two bombs were set off by ISIS. They went into Christian churches who were celebrating Palm Sunday, killed dozens and dozens and dozens of people and wounded hundreds. This week, someone sent me this. This was a sermon given by a Coptic priest. So in the Coptic church, they have services every day of Holy Week, and this was given on Monday night. And it moved me so, and I want to share just a little bit of this with you. This is from Coptic priest Father Boulos George. This is a message that he's directing primarily to ISIS, the Islamic State. And I want you to hear this. What will we say to them? Thank you. The first thing we will say is thank you very much. And you won't believe us when we say it. You know why we say thank you? I'll tell you. You won't get it, but please believe us. You gave us to die the same death as Christ. And this is the biggest honor we could have. Christ was crucified, and this is our faith. He died and was slaughtered. This is our faith. You gave us the same honor. We thank you because you shortened for us the journey. When someone is headed home to a particular city, he keeps looking at the time. When will I get home? Are we there yet? Can you imagine if in an instant he finds himself on a rocket ship straight to his destination? You shortened the journey. We thank you because you gave us to fulfill what Christ said to us. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. We were lambs. Our only weapons are our faith and the church we pray in. I carry no weapon in my hand. You helped us fulfill this saying of Christ. And he continues on a little bit further. Can you see why we say thank you? Thank you. The second thing I say to this is, we love you. This, unfortunately, you won't understand at all. Maybe you won't believe us when we say we're grateful, but this too is a teaching of our Christ. I want to explain to you about our Christ. I want to tell you about how wonderful he is. See what Christ said. If you love those who love you, you have no profit or reward with me. Even thugs and thieves love those who love them. Any gang loves its members. But I want to tell you that if you love those who love you, what reward have you? But I tell you, love your enemy. We Christians don't have enemies. Others make enmity with us. The Christians don't make enemies because we are commanded to love everyone. And so we love you because this is the teaching of our God, that I'm to love you no matter what you do to me. I love you very much, and I want to say one last thing to you. Talking to ISIS. We're praying for you. Because the one who told us to love you told us to bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. He continues on just a little bit further. We must all pray for them today. That God opens their eyes and opens their hearts to his love. Because if they knew him, they could never do this. Friends, for someone to be able to say that, for a priest in a church that has just had countless dozens killed and slaughtered, the only way someone can say that is if Jesus Christ is really risen from the dead. The only way our faith makes sense, the only way that it makes any sense to pray for our enemies, to love those who hate us, to follow the teachings of Jesus, to love and not count the cost, to pray and not look for anything in return. The only way any of this makes sense is if Jesus Christ is truly risen from the grave. If sin and evil has truly been shattered, if it no longer has its grip on us, then we can pray for those who persecute us. And we can love those who would seek to do us harm. But if Jesus isn't risen from the grave, then none of that matters. And this priest knows that. Those Christians knew that. I think of those Coptic Christians a year or two ago who were lined up there on the beach, 20 of them, who were beheaded by ISIS. None of them would recant their faith. None of them. Can you imagine the place in which that faith comes from? Can you imagine if you were in their shoes, what would you do? Is your faith and trust in the promises of the risen Christ and what he has done for you strong enough that you can look someone in the eye who wants to do you harm and say, I love you and I'm praying for you? May we be people filled with the power of the resurrection who can do just that. Amen. As we affirm our faith together, would you please take your hymnals, turn to page 880, and stand as we affirm our faith together. Please join me. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets, even the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead in the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and life-giving God, we give you thanks for this day, for the incredible power we celebrate this day. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we find hope and meaning for our own lives, not just for this life, but for eternal life with you. God, we know that you hear us when we pray. So we come to you with petitions for ourselves, for our neighbors, for our family, for our friends. This morning I lift up Sue and I pray for your healing touch to be upon her. Almighty God, may the peace and the joy that flows out of your resurrection move in and among us. May it touch the lives of those we love, and may they know your peace that is beyond all of our understanding. We ask this in the name of the risen Lord. Amen. Our ushers come forward as we receive our offering. God, on this day, we are mindful of all your incredible gifts toward us. We offer back a portion of your incredible bounty that the world might know your love. Amen. Almighty God, we dedicate these gifts and offerings to you. May they be used to bring resurrection power to our community and to our world. This we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn in your hymnals to page 12. Friends, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and before one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not heard the cry of need. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven people, I invite you just to turn to those next to you and exchange a sign of God's peace. Where's the other one? Does that what? You okay? Was this for you? Set that around the light. Thank you. Friends, as we return to our seats, please join me at the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and brought to us a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name, and we join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Mary Lou, Dean, would you come? The bread that we break, this is a sharing in the body of Christ. This is a gift of God for the people of God, and we say, thanks be to God. the cup of salvation, the cup of blessing over which we give thanks, and the gift of God for the people of God. And we say, thanks be to God. Friends, the table is ready. In the United Methodist Church, the table of God is open to all people. All that we ask is that you love God and that you seek to live in peace with those around you as you continue to grow in your faith with Him. At the usher's direction, you'll be invited to come forward. You'll be given a piece of bread, which you may dip in the cup. If you would like to kneel for prayer at the rail, you may do so. Otherwise, after you receive, you can return to your seats by the side aisle. I invite you to come at the usher's direction. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you stand for our closing hymn number 310? We are sent forth in the power of Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen.
We ask you in